Welcome to another episode of Heard Online, a series on investigative sleep coaching, where we take a critical look at things that we find on the World Wide Web, and we determine if what we find is something that is helpful if you have trouble sleeping or not that helpful. And today we have found potentially the most insanely heartbreaking thing I ever saw. You know, so many things have made me think, oh my gosh, this is the most insane thing I ever saw, the most crazy thing I ever heard of. But sadly, you know, that never stops. There's always something to top what I heard before. And I say insanely heartbreaking because on one thing, I can't believe what I'm reading, and it's kind of like just almost comical. But on the other hand, it's sad because I know where this will lead. And I want to thank Adam for tipping me out about Andrew Huberman, and we're going to take a look at a video from his YouTube channel in a second. Actually, without further ado, let's jump in, and we're going to see what Andrew has to say. I'm going to share my thoughts on it, and we're going to look at the transcript. And in fact, I sort of regret that I didn't record myself as I was looking through the transcript, because I just could not believe what I was seeing. But anyways, let's take a look and let Dr. Huberman introduce himself.
I'm Andrew Huberman, and I'm a professor of neurobiology and ophthalmology at Stanford School of Medicine. Today, we're talking all about sleep.
So just a quick comment there. Dr. Huberman introduced himself as a professor. And of course, that is because that automatically, to a lot of people, makes him look like an authority, like that somebody like we should trust. And, you know, not to stay too long on this, but I think, we look to scientists for guidance and support. And that comes from a place of like a lot of amazing things have happened in universities, you know, from the scientific approach to things. But, you know, sleep and our emotional, system, it doesn't lend itself so well to, the critical, scientific approach. It leads to a lot of struggle. So, just want to put that out there, that I think in society we are a little bit easily tricked into looking for the answers in the wrong places. But anyways, just a comment on that.
And how to optimize your sleep. This is a topic we've covered previously on this podcast in the episode called Master Your Sleep.
And yeah, just a little bit on the immediately when you see the wording here and the language, you can see that this is very tricky, because sleep is a passive process. It is just like breathing or thinking. It happens by itself. But when we try to force sleep to happen, we get real struggle sleeping. And when you talk about optimizing, mastering your sleep, you can see automatically this is going to lead to effort. This is going to lead to struggle. This is going to lead to insomnia, which is like you can already sense that this is quite tricky. But at least let's keep going.
However, since the airing of that episode, there's been some terrific new science to come out. I've also received thousands, yes, literally thousands of questions related to the specific protocols covered in that episode, as well as in the episode on jet lag and shift work. And while today's episode is...
So I want to comment right off the bat here that I reviewed, I won't say I reviewed the entire transcript, but I went through a great deal of it. And I don't know what terrific new research he's talking about there. There's really like what he talks about in terms of optimizing sleep is things that we've heard over and over and over and over and over again. It's about like adenosine and coffee. It's about like temperature. It's about timing of sleep. It's about sleep hygiene. It's about light. So I really don't know what he's talking about there, but I believe that he's gotten literally thousands of questions. And who are writing those questions? Is it people who are sleeping, well, and just want to optimize their sleep a little bit better? I bet that 95% of those questions come from people who have insomnia, who know it, like I have insomnia and I need help, or somebody who like don't understand that they have insomnia. They're like thinking like, I got to get this right. I can't optimize my sleep. They don't understand that they actually have insomnia. This is a struggle to achieve sleep. There is a fear of not sleeping well or not sleeping there. So, just pointing out that I'm not surprised at all that thousands of people have reached out to him. So, sadly, in my opinion, I don't think they're getting what they're looking for. But let's keep going.
Not specifically about jet lag and shift work. We are going to cover tools that will allow you to shift your schedule if you need to for work or travel. And we will also cover tools that will allow you to fall back asleep if you happen to wake up in the middle of the night, or if you get a poor night's sleep, how to actually recover from that poor night's sleep more quickly. And yes, indeed, even replace sleep that you've lost. So today's episode is going to be filled with practical tools. We will touch on some of the underlying science, but it's really designed to be a practical toolkit for optimizing your sleep depending on your specific sleep needs. Various times throughout today's episode, I will refer to studies that form the backbone of the tools that I'll be describing. But whereas most of the podcast episodes here tend to be deep scientific mechanism and then tools, scientific mechanism, then tools, today I'm mainly going to focus on the practical tools that anyone, indeed all people, I believe, should use in order.
And here, you know, when I saw this, I thought, okay, firstly, I've gone through quite a bit of the transcript and I haven't seen one single reference. And I may be wrong, but I haven't seen any single reference to a scientific study. But what I really want to point out here was that I think what Dr. Huber is saying here is like a way of, you know, it's a roundabout way of saying, like, there is no evidence, you know, because, you know, instead of saying like, okay, there is actually no like basic fundamental mechanism that can explain the toolkit I'm going to propose. I mean, it's easier to say, well, we don't really have time to look at the underlying mechanisms, so we're just going to focus on the practical tools, right? I thought that was, you know, quite interesting to hear that said. But, you know, as you can imagine, we could this could be like a 4-hour episode where I just like listen to a little bit and then I comment on it. But what I will share with you was really, really in the transcripts here. And it may not be easy for you to see it because of the screen size, but I'm gonna read some of it to. So firstly, it starts by talking about, of course, he mentions Matt Walker and the book Why We Sleep, which we have seen is so problematic and that has been debunked. The first chapter has been like completely, debunked in my opinion. There's so many errors in that first chapter of the book that Alexei Guzey has shown us. So, you know, just putting that out there. And then he goes to say like, he's asking the question, why should everybody optimize their sleep? Well, he says sleep is the foundation of mental health, physical health, performance, cognitive performance, etc. It controls things like your immune system. And that's so unscientific. How can you say that sleep controls the immune system without any form of like reference to any type of data? And it just baffles me that somebody can just say that without blinking. And by the way, something else I thought about as I was watching this was that we know that the struggle with sleep is deeply emotional. It is a spiritual battle. You know, it's like not understanding ourselves. We have this invisible enemy that we're fighting in, and it's a very emotional thing. And then to see someone like Dr. Huberman here talk about sleep without really showing any emotion, as it was like, you know, this is how a car works and this is how we fix a car, that also is very, very tricky. You know, it leads people in the completely wrong direction, in my opinion. You know, instead of looking inside, looking at our thoughts, feelings, how we react and how we think about things, we think of it as like, okay, this is something that needs to be fixed just like a car. Very, very tricky. Anyways, he goes on to see that it controls wound healing, controls healthcare, health appearance, whether you think clearly or not. Like this is just putting an incredible amount of pressure on sleep. And now you can wonder, like, why is somebody doing this? Like, is it, you know, does he really just want to help people? Does he just not understand sleep and he wants to, you know, but he has good intentions? This is where I started to getting really shocked. It was when I looked at the transcript and I saw around 3 minutes, he's going to say that he's pleased to announce that the Huberman Lab podcast is now partnered with Momentous Supplements. Huh? We partner with Momentous for several important reasons. Firstly, they ship internationally because we know that many of you are located outside the United States. Secondly, the quality of their supplements is second to none. Thirdly, we emphasize, so you can see that. Uh-huh. Then you're like, okay, now I see. Now I see why this podcast exists. Now I see why he's out there, you know, exploiting his position as a professor is to sell supplements, you know? And this made me think, like, has nothing really improved over the last, like, 400 years or, like, I don't know, hundreds of years when, you know, I just happened to be reading this book about, what's the name, John D. Rockefeller, and his dad was this, like, country doctor, like self-styled doctor, who sold this, like, basically snake oil salesman who sold this oil and said it will help everything. And I'm like, it's basically the same thing. It's basically somebody who has no insight and has this, like, intent of just, you know, I'm getting too excited about this, but this made me really think, okay, now I see where this is going. And then, you know, so in this episode, there's a partnership with a supplement company. He talks about that a lot. He talks about how you can go to livemomentous.com/Huberman to see those supplements. And then he talked about his previous podcast. He's going like, okay, now I'd like to thank the sponsors. Our first sponsor was Inside Tracker. Inside Tracker is a personalized nutrition platform that analyzes data from your blood and DNA to help you better meet your health goals. And, you know, I talk about is sleep here, but this is, you know, just like supplements is a rabbit hole. This is another rabbit hole of trying to figure out why your sleep isn't optimized by doing some DNA tests and lab tests, you know? And I think there was even more. He talks about a web portal we can go, and here, like, you get 20% off any Insight Tracker plan using, like, you know, Huberman's, like, thing here. And he says, today's episode is also brought to us by 8Sleep. 8Sleep makes smart mattresses. So, like, within the first minutes, you know, he's talked about supplements, some DNA tests, mattresses, and this is like, oh my goodness, what's happening? Like, this is, honestly, this is so heartbreaking. And, you know, I know I'm sort of just like reacting to this episode, and Adam may have wanted more of a, like, you know, me commenting on the methods that Huberman goes over in terms of, like, optimizing your sleep. But I will just say this, that, yeah, of course, there are other things than gas and brake. So gas and brake model is what I teach here in terms of, like, helping anyone sleep easier when they had a struggle with insomnia. So basically, gas is like our sleep drive, which is, you know, like hunger. Like, the longer we go without sleep, the sleepier we become. So we have more of a sleep drive. That's the gas in our sleep system. And brake is hyperarousal. Our brains are designed to not let us sleep when we are in danger. So hyperarousal is what keeps us from sleeping when there is some danger, real or perceived danger, right? And then you can wonder, okay, so how about light and the timing of when we wake up and, like, you know, melatonin levels and, like, you know, natural light, like, doesn't that play any role whatsoever? Maybe a little bit, you know, maybe if we have more bright light one day, we sleep like 1 minute more or 1 minute less, or, you know, other things can have some impact on our sleep, surely. But compared to, like, the gas and brake there, nothing else really matters, right? If we're sleepy and we're not trying to sleep, we're not worried about sleep, we're not trying to achieve anything, sleep will just happen by itself and we'll feel refreshed and it'll be fine, you know? So that is really the only answer I have to this. And what he talks about, like, optimizing sleep, to me, it's really, really tricky. And actually, like, now I was about to, you know, conclude there, but there was one thing more I want to show you, which was the comments. You know, comments are always, you know, so enlightening. And I saw this one comment here from Myra. Let's take a look at that together. Myra says, thanks so much for covering these things again and offering new insight. It's truly life-changing, which is, like, so interesting to me. I mean, on one hand, I'm like, who am I to say what's life-changing or not? I'm glad this was life-changing for Myra. But then she goes on to say, I would love to hear an episode specifically about clinically diagnosed insomnia, the causes, any new studies, and possible cures, if such things exist. Which, so we can already see here in the beginning of the comment that Myra's probably still struggling, right? And she's looking for the cure, doubting that it even exists. Like, what kind of situation is that? That's so sad when you don't even think there could be a cure, right? He says, I applied your behavioral sleep protocols in the past, which I found through trial and error, and maintained them with the good fortune of a private roof in New York City. I had a few blissfully rested years using the tools you've now explained to us so well, but now I don't have safe outdoor access in the mornings, and I do have Lyme disease, which has made the rest of the exercise routines, etc., unsafe. So my childhood insomnia is back with a vengeance, and I'll often go days on 0 minutes of sleep. I still don't fully understand why, though. Perhaps you and Dr. Walker can join forces again. And so it's so tricky. You see that we of course, as humans, when we're scared, we want to have something to hold on to. And when somebody gives you some type of, like, if somebody just sounds authoritative and says this is how it works, you can feel like, okay, good, I have something to hold on to. This is something. But in reality, we're no better off. We're still so scared of not sleeping, and we have really haven't understood anything. And you can see that Myra is still struggling. And there was a very similar one here too. But anyways, a lot of similar comments there. And Adrian shows that I think sleep is best understood from a point of, like, or you know, sleep is, I think, best understood as just a natural biological process, just like thinking and breathing, and it happens all by itself. And when we approach sleep, we can approach it like a succulent rather than a bonsai tree. Like a succulent, you know, you give it water once in a while, and then it takes care of itself, right? And bonsai tree, we have to like cut and trim and fix and then. But if we approach sleep like a bonsai tree, like it doesn't thrive. If anything, it becomes more and more of a struggle. So, and this is what I think happens so much in the sleep optimizing space. So I think, treating sleep like a succulent, and also if you have a struggle sleeping, see that it is an emotional struggle. It's a spiritual struggle. That is what's going to lead us to where we want to be. So those are my thoughts, my opinions. I'm curious to hear yours. So let me know what you thought. And I guess final note here is that when I first saw this, it was one of those moments where you kind of like, if I had a hair, I'd probably want to pull my hair, because you're like, this episode was watched like 200,000 times, and this is somebody with like more than 1 million subscribers, and I'm like, are we ever gonna really make a dent? Like, is there any possibility for us to like really change culture and change how things are viewed and thought and like that, when there's these massive, massive forces that are going in a different direction, where you have like I often talk about, I love, like, I think, you know, the scientific method is extremely valuable to us humans, but at the same token, like, so much of academia is not helpful to us, because there's this continuous emphasis on like how sleep is important for this reason and that reason. And of course that is because, like, in academia you have to survive, right? You have to get published, you have to get funding. And how are you going to do that if you say, well, the less you do about sleep, the easier it happens? And we have actually not found anything that shows that short sleep or something causes any problems, like, right? You know, very, very tricky. So academia is pushing in like that direction. Media, like, to a large degree, does exactly the same, right? They want clickbait type titles. They want our attention. Large, you know, people with large followings on social media, they're doing sort of the same thing as media and academia does. And like, sometimes you're like, you know, are we ever going to really, really, you know, make a dent, you know, and like really start to change culture? Who knows? Anyways, I'm just happy that we're here, that you're here, and that we're seeing a lot of magic happening in this community. So let's end on that note. Thanks for being here with me today. And as always, let me know what you thought, and we shall go from there. Bye for now.